the eternal throne. Father, we thank you for your presence, your tangible presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the great saints of old, the psalmists of old, and the great hymns that they have left for us. You who inhabit the praises of your people. As we enter your word, we humble ourselves afresh. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so that I will speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. I pray you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present here now, and those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that this word, your word, will flow freely from you through me to your people to do an internal and eternal work in each of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they're heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of these things which they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful to deliver the word with precision to redeem the time. And say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed under the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, I have a very important message for us today. We have this series where we're dealing with the reign of David. But I've taken like, it's a kind of bracket on covenant, circumcision, and mercy. And I'll tell you the reason. You cannot really appreciate the reign of David and walk in its prophetic destiny if you don't understand covenant, circumcision, and mercy. The David dynasty is a spiritual dynasty that God actually had in mind from the beginning. You see, God never wanted Israel to have a king because he already had a plan for succession. And we see it in Moses and Joshua. Joshua was not Moses' son. When Israel insisted that they wanted a king, God went along with them, but gave provision, spiritual instructions, that if the kings had adhered to them, they would have been a part of the spiritual dynasty that God originally planned. As it turned out, David fulfilled that. He kept that covenant. We're going to see that in a minute. And because he did that, he was able to fulfill his purpose as king. And it was desired by God that his biological seed, that came after him would continue to fulfill it. Sadly, that didn't happen. Even as early as Solomon, Solomon did not keep that covenant as he should have. And this is the reason why we're studying these things. Of course, Absalom didn't keep it. Adonijah didn't keep it. No, you know, and if you look through, it is a sad commentary, but it's the truth. You know, if you look through the entire gamut of the history of Israel, you find you can name the good kings on five fingers: the Jehoshaphats, the Hezekiahs, you know, Josiah, and that's about it. You know, maybe one or two others, you know, that I can't remember exactly, you know. And none of them, not any of them, came close to David. So after David, it went on a downward trajectory. You didn't see as good a king. But that, it didn't bother God, because God had a master plan. Because David was just going to be an avenue through which to set up a spiritual dynasty that was going to be started through the Lord Jesus Christ, who was going to come thousands of years later. That is why the Lord Jesus was called the Son of David. And so, we're going to be looking at Absalom and Adonijah and Solomon. We're going to see their failures and see how we should avoid them. But we're not going to do that today. I'm going to talk today about covenant. David understood covenant. And that put him apart from a lot of the other kings. You know, Saul didn't understand covenant. And if he did, he didn't fulfill it. So I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis is the beginning, and this is where it all starts, as far as the seed of Abraham, David, and then Jesus Christ is concerned. It's interesting. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. We're going to start from verse 1. Just before we read it, you know, recently I've been teaching in School of Perfection in the book of Matthew. And when we started, we looked at the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the scribes were going to write the genealogy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it is extremely instructive to see that they made three stops. Of course, they started with Adam, you know, and then they went to Abraham. Then from Abraham, they went to David. Then from David, they went to Jesus. It's very, very significant, because Abraham and David represent the perfect types. They weren't perfect in themselves, but as a type, they are the accounts of their lives showed us the vital importance of covenant. And that was why, ultimately, by the grace and the mercy of God, Abraham was successful to fulfill his destiny, you know. And David, well, almost, except for that nonsense with Bathsheba and all of that, that made him miss a little bit of it. But he didn't miss it all. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled his entire destiny. Jesus understood who he was. He knew, watch this, that he was the spiritual son of David. He was not the biological son of David. Jesus knew that. Now is why he asked them this question. A lot of people don't understand that question. He said, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? Talking about his biological, you know, dynasty, his biological ancestry. He said, if Christ is the son of David, how come that David calls him Lord in spirit? And then he quotes, you know, the Lord Jesus knew his Bible very well, and you need to know the word. He quotes from Psalm 110, and I'll just quote it, you know, I'm going to quote it not exactly as it is in King James, a little. I'm just going to twist it a little bit, but it's correct. Don't be afraid. You know, Jehovah said to Adonai. That's what the scripture says. He says, the Lord, in English, you just say, the Lord said to my Lord. But it actually means Jehovah, God our Father, said to Adonai, God the Son. This was back in heaven before Jesus ever came to the earth. Before he became a man. You know, this way, way back, you know, where David was singing and he was in prophetic song. This prophetic revelation came out. Sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So the Lord Jesus goes and picks that by revelation and says that if David in spirit called him Lord, how then is he his son? In other words, I'm not the physical son of David. I am the spiritual son of David and of the dynasty of David. Well, turn to your neighbor and say, welcome to the club. May God open our eyes as Christians that we may know who we truly are. Genesis chapter 17, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, then jump to verse 6. I'm just going to flow with the Spirit. Tell to your neighbor, say, chill, man. Okay. It says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, I didn't hear you. It wasn't Abraham, it was Abram. Abram. Very significant. The how was not there. Another message for another day. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God. That's where we get El Shaddai from. That's where we get El Shaddai from. Walk before me and be thou perfect. The word perfect in Hebrew is upright. For 14 years, Abraham has not been walking uprightly. Been sleeping with Hagar. And had a child of the flesh that was in direct contradiction to the terms of the covenant. That's why God, let me use a very mild word, was displeased with him. I won't say angry. God really, you know, Abraham was a nice guy. So God was not angry, but he was a little bit put off. So when he appeared to him, he said, walk before me. In other words, you've not been walking before me as you should. And be upright. Be perfect. Someone said, he said that to Abraham, my dearly brother and sister, he's saying it to you this afternoon. Sarah, walk before me and be upright. Gregor, walk before me and be upright. Wale, walk before me and be upright. And all the others. Seriously. Some of us have not been upright. Hence this message. But if Abraham made it, you will make it. In spite of his errors. And I will make, oh, everybody scream it out loud, my covenant. Who's going to make the covenant? God. But the condition is you will walk before God and you'll be upright. We're going to get to all of that, you know. Then the neighbor say, chill this afternoon. No. It's one of the most important messages you are going to hear today. I would say covenant, circumcision, and mercy. Those three things will take you to the throne. And the lack of them will rob you of the throne. You go to heaven. See, a lot of people keep saying heaven. Heaven is not our goal. Heaven is a gift. Are you following me? The thief on the cross went to heaven. But he's not sitting on the throne. Can I take that a little bit? We did this recently. Jonathan went to heaven. But he's not sitting on the throne. And you know, Jonathan would have been a part of this Davidic dynasty. See, God just used David as a placeholder. Our politicians now are talking about placeholders. Don't let me go there. You know, it so happened David in that time was a person who obeyed him. So David now became the placeholder through which the spiritual dynasty would come. It could have been Saul if he had obeyed. Because he did tell Saul, he said that if you had obeyed me, he said, then would I have established your kingdom forever. God was just looking for somebody who would be obedient. He now becomes a placeholder in through which millions of sons of the Davidic dynasty would arise. Glory be to God. You have to see things from a divine point of view. And I will make my covenant. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. And I will multiply thee exceedingly. I just got a tweet from heaven. You know, before he said verse 2, he said verse 1. You know what he said? I'm El Shaddai. The God that nothing is impossible to. The God that can do anything. The God that is more than enough. If you will walk with me and you'll be upright, I, El Shaddai, I, the Almighty God, I, the God who can do anything, I, the God who is more than enough, I will make my covenant with you. It's not you. You are a part of it, don't misunderstand me, but I'm going to be the main actor in this covenant. And the result is that I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Has he not done it? When Abraham died, he had only a few sons. Of course, he had Ishmael, who is the son of the flesh. The only one of the spirit was Isaac. Then after Sarah died, he married one other woman called Keturah and had some other boys. I don't even know their names. You know, they're in the Bible, but, you know. And Abraham died. So you would have thought Abraham only had one son. But look through the ages. Everything he said to Abraham, he kept it. I will make my covenant with thee. Right through, you know, to Moses, to Exodus in Egypt, to the promised land, to the time of the judges, the time of the kings. Then David comes along, you know. And then all the Babylonian captivities brings them. Oh, God. Everybody give him a clap offering. Hallelujah. I, the God who transcends time and space, who transcends generations. He was still looking at the covenant he gave to Abraham. They came back from Babylon. Then we had Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah right down on all the minor prophets right up to Malachi. He's still watching over that word. Glory be to God. And then one fine evening, Angel Gabriel flies into a quiet village called Nazareth and meets a virgin girl, you know, who is probably in her late teens and says, Hail Mary, you have found favor with God. It says, you're going to have a son, and he shall sit on the throne of his father David. And of the kingdoms, there shall be no end. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering. Ever say, covenant-keeping God. You know, we sing it all the time, but very few people know what it means. And Abraham fell on his face, verse 3. And God talked with him, saying, ask for me. Ever say, ask for me. You see, God is saying, this is my own part. Ask for me. Now, what are you going to do? Ask for me. We'll get to the good part in a minute. My covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. This is when he changes his name. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. That includes you and I. From way back, God had seen Nigeria. God had seen Nigeria. me. God has seen you. Nations. Don't let me get off. And I will make thee, verse 6, I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. You know what, Pastor G? God already had Jesus in mind when he was saying all this. He wasn't talking just about, you know, the king of Ethiopia and all of that. No. What we read this morning, you know, during the Bible study, you know, for those who have received the abundance of grace, you know, and the gift of righteousness shall reign as king. That's what God had at the back of his mind. I'm going to bring out spiritual kings out of you that are going to reign over Satan. Woo! Glory be to God. And kings shall come out of thee. Hello, kings. Ooh. Let me get to the good part. Amen. Now, let's quickly go down to... Okay. Let me get down to verse 9. This 6 to 11. I'm just going to drop, you know, jump things. Let me go to verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, notice the scripture recording changes. In verse 1 is Abraham. In verse 9 is now Abraham. Immediately after God spoke. Once God speaks, that's what you become. At this time, he still had no boy. But this prophetic word had gone forth. So as far as God was concerned, it was a done deal. Am I talking to anybody here? Do you understand covenant? It was already a done deal. So the minute it came out of God's mouth, he just switched from Abraham to Abraham. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, and thou and thy seed, that is thy biological ancestry, you know, we'll deal with that in a minute, you know, after thee in their generations, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every child, every man child, main child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token. Everybody scream token. Token. This is not the covenant, it's just a token of the covenant between me and you. I'm going to stop there. Then we're going to move to something else in a minute. But you see, I want you to understand, you see, our Jewish brethren, and I call them brethren, you know, even when they're not born again, because they're the natural seed of Abraham and biological seed of Abraham, they went off course because they now took the token as the covenant. The token is not the covenant. It is a token of the covenant. I'm going to repeat it. The token is not the covenant. It is the token of the covenant. And I want to ask you, it's a rhetorical question, I'm going to answer it myself. What then is the covenant? If the physical circumcision of the man child, of the boys, of the men, you know, the male children, is just a token, what then is the token? I'm going to read it, because when I was preparing for this, the thing was coming by the Spirit, so I had to write down in my notes so I don't make any mistake. Covenant is a spiritual contract between two parties, laying down of everything that of all they have and all their resources, their lives and resources, each partner available to the other. The penalty for default is death. The reward for keeping the covenant is life. Physical circumcision was the physical token of the covenant in the Old Testament. Spiritual circumcision is the sign in the new covenant, the cutting off by the Holy Spirit, the sin nature in the spirit, soul, and body. That is the real covenant. And incidentally, God in his wisdom gave it to them right in the Old Testament. I don't know how they missed it. Well, I do know. You know, dishonesty of heart, pride, rebellion. You know, it was a few guys got it in the Old Testament. That is not just the physical circumcision is not the covenant. It's just a token. What then was the covenant? Deuteronomy chapter 10. Quick. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And look at, as early as that, honey, as early as Deuteronomy. Look at it in verse 16. He told them, in verse 15 and 16, only the Lord had delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed, that is their biological, you know, descendants, even you above all people as at this day. Now he tells them the covenant. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. That, honey, that was the covenant in the old, and it's still the same covenant in the new. It hasn't changed. It's still the same today. Sadly, most Christians don't know this. What is the covenant? It is a circumcision of the heart. And that's why I said covenant, circumcision, and mercy. I'm going to get to mercy before we close. Circumcision. Now, let's look at the physical, then we'll look at the spiritual. But before I do that, oh my God, this thing is just rolling. It's rolling and rolling and rolling. Oh, Jesus, help me. Go with me to Romans. Let's quickly go to the Old New Testament and we'll come back to the Old. Romans, you can see how, that's why you know the Bible was written by God. That's how you know it was written by God. This God had told them this in the Old Covenant. In the New Testament, Paul picks it by the Spirit. I'm first of all going to look at Romans chapter 2. Those of you who know your Bible very well, you will know this verse. Paul, thank God, give the Apostle Paul another clap offering, somebody. Paul had revelation. So he understood that the token was not the covenant. So, you know what he says in verse 27? Verse 28 and 9. Let me just, because of time. He says, but for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew. Hello, Jew. Do you know you're Jewish? You didn't know. Now you know. You're Jewish. And stop eating pork. Another message for another day. You can eat pork if you pray for it. But he's a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. Everybody scream it. In the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Brethren, it has not changed. This is the covenant. This is the covenant. Now, let me, oh, Jesus, help me. What in the world? The Holy Ghost, help me. Help me, help me, help me, help me. Koshele prakofredega. This stuff is deep. It's deep. It's deep, folks. You know, people missed it in the Old Testament. People are still missing it today in the New Testament. Because they don't understand what the covenant truly is. It's a spiritual circumcision of the human heart. It was available in the Old Testament, not as the new birth, But you could use the word of God in the Old Testament to circumcise your heart. Let me quickly read this. Romans chapter 4, verse 11. He's talking about the father Abraham. And he, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, or the token. See, the token is not the big deal. The real deal is the real circumcision itself. A seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. Abraham had not been circumcised physically, but he had been circumcised spiritually. His heart was already believing God, and it was already reckoned unto him for righteousness. Give the Apostle Paul another clap offering. Oh, glory be to God. What am I going to do with this guy? Hallelujah. That he might be. That he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. In other words, whether you have the token or you don't have the token, if in your heart you are circumcised, as far as God is concerned, you're a Jew. Now, let's talk a little bit about circumcision. In the physical, what circumcision is, that the male organ is born with an extra growth. That's why they call it the foreskin. And when a child is circumcised, you take it to a doctor or somebody who's, you know, good hygiene, you know, they cut off that unnecessary growth. And then they put something, usually, you know, the child will cry and all of that. Then they put ointment on it, and it heals within a few days. You know. Now, what is God telling us? What is the New Testament circumcision? You get born again, and there is an unnecessary growth of the sin nature that is still inside your mind, your will, and your emotions. You need to cut it off. Just like physical circumcision is painful, spiritual circumcision is painful. And most Christians don't want to circumcise. And when you don't circumcise, you have broken the covenant, and he will seek to kill you. Ask Moses. Moses did not circumcise his two boys. The Bible says, and the Lord, give me that scripture, so Exodus something, you know. And the Bible says, and the Lord sought to kill him. I told you at the beginning, covenant is a spiritual contract between two parties in which they lay down all their lives and resources for each partner. In other words, partner A, let's just say God and you. So God lays down his life. He lays down all resources for your use when you need it. You are supposed to lay down your life and all your resources for God when he needs it. God, watch this. God plays his part. He sends his son. He lays his life down. He gives you all the resources of heaven. All the fullness of God. I don't know. I don't even know what that begins to mean. Glory be to God. He said, all the fullness, all the blessings of God in here, the promise of God in here are yea and they are amen. God fulfilled his part. Then God now asks you, I want you to pray 1 hour every day. Covenant. Your life is no longer yours. Remember, you're in covenant. So that time is no longer yours. That life is no longer yours. So God says, give me 2.5 hours every day. I need you and your voice as a legal avenue in the earth through which to release my power. Pastor Wally, thanks for the requiem of today, the economics of prayer. And then you say, I don't have time. You just broke covenant. You can't say no to a covenant partner. How long are you here? This thing is serious business. It's covenant, not contract. Contract is an agreement between two parties that's based on material and physical things. Covenant is deeper than contract because it's not based on material things, it's based on life and death. The penalty for breaking covenant is death. The reward for keeping covenant is life. So God played his part. It's like playing chess. He sends his son. They slap him. They beat him. They put him on a cross. They nail him. He goes to hell. Second person of the Godhead. Suffers for 3 days and 3 nights. Get raised up from the dead. His part of the covenant is fulfilled. So he now says, oh, I want to make covenant with you. And my name is El Shaddai. Okay, come. All right? I'm going to give you all my life. I give you my Zoe. I give you the death of my son to pay for your sins. You know, I take care of you. And you say, yeah, fine. So God said, fine. Okay, you know, we're not covenant partners. All right? Now, I need you. That money in your bank account. I'm not talking to anybody. I need 10% of it. Minimum. That you give to the church so that they can preach my word. And then I also need offerings. And say, Lord, things are tight. Oh, hold on, I'll do you well. Mommy is getting it. That's why she's going shanda la 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 bara. When you understand the implications, you will tremble. That is why we need the third part, which is mercy. We'll get that in a minute. Are you listening to me? He says, I need those resources. Because I cannot counterfeit money and send it from heaven. So I need your resources. I need your money. I need your heart. I need your mouth. So I can speak in tongues through you. So I can do what I want to do, not what you want to do. Not what you feel like doing. I can pray my will into the earth through you. So give me your tongue. Give me your heart. And I need it for 2-3 hours every day. Are you ready to keep your covenant? It went very quiet. I didn't hear one yes. Not one yes. Are you ready to keep the covenant? Oh, you have an option. It's just that the option is a bad option. It's death. That's why God told the children of Israel, I like this God. You know why? He tells us everything up front. He is a very straightforward person of integrity. He said, I set before you this day life and death. Therefore, choose life or choose the covenant. Choose the covenant. Stop this nonsense. Oh. The church is, we don't understand. We're in a covenant. It's a blood covenant. The blood of Jesus, God's blood was shed to seal the covenant. And will you despise and count the holy blood by which you are sanctified an unholy thing, and tread underfoot the Son of God, and despise the Spirit of grace? Those were the words that were used by the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews, reserved for covenant breakers. He said, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let's go a step further. In the Old Testament, I'll get to the New in a minute. He tells them how to keep the covenant. The spiritual part now, not just the token, not the physical circumcision. So look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'm just going to run through these things. There's scriptures we're very familiar with. But you see, I'm now bringing it in the context of covenant. So you stop seeing it as a good optional idea, which you used to see it as. Well, I lie when I fail, I do it. When I don't feel like, I don't do it. No. You're in covenant. You're in covenant. And then I'm going to show you the New Testament equivalent. Then I'll talk about mercy and we'll close. Am I helping anybody here? If you're still on my side, first of all, give me a wave offering. And then give the Lord a clap offering. At least it will wake you up. Oh, glory to God. This stuff is wonderful. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. We know the scripture. It says, "Hail Israel! The Lord thy God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord." This is the covenant. What I'm reading to you now is the covenant. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with some of thy heart." Pastor Andrew, why all thy heart? Why not some of thy heart? You know why? He bought it with his blood. He has a right to all of your heart because you are in covenant. Do you get it? "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." I didn't hear you. "With some of thy heart, with some of thy soul, with some of thy might." The man bought it all. Because when he was going to fulfill the covenant, he gave you all. See, when you begin to understand this thing in the context of covenant, you're going to take it much more seriously than you have been taking it. We don't take our spiritual life seriously. Because we think it's a matter of, I do the one I can't. And then we've been told lies by our pastors, like part of what I was saying during the Bible study this morning, that it doesn't matter what you do. You know, God, you just type the next four letters and God, anything you ask God, God will just give you. That's not how covenant operates. "With all thy heart and with all thy soul." And these words, he's telling you how to keep the covenant. "Which I commanded this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk." Everybody say, talk! That's the covenant. I'm getting ahead of myself. But I'm so excited. I'm getting ahead of myself. You know, in the natural, Kasha, Pastor G, you listen to this. In the natural, they take a knife. Or a sharp, or a surgeon something, and cut that foreskin off. In the spirit, you take the sword of the spirit, and then you cut that sin nature off. That's why it has to be in your mouth. "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword." Hallelujah. Using it now in a positive context. So you use your mouth. You use your mouth to cut the foreskin of your heart. Just like the doctor, or the brother who's performed the physical circumcision, takes a knife and cuts the foreskin, you take it and cut the foreskin of the flesh. And don't be like Moses, because he had a funny wife. And she didn't like blood. So she didn't want Moses to circumcise her two sons. And the Bible says, "And the Lord sought Moses to kill him because he was a covenant breaker." And Moses took the boys and he circumcised them. You know what Zipporah did? She took the foreskin because it had blood in it. "Thou art a bloody husband to me." Olorun ma je ka fefe kufe. Ni oruko Jesu Oluwa e shami mu ba se pe ke shami. But don't let me go there. But seriously, she didn't understand. That's why if you marry a foreigner who doesn't understand covenant, she will get offended when you begin to fulfill your obligations of the covenant. That's why God said, don't marry the children of Moab. Don't marry the children of Amalek. They won't understand covenant. Look for a girl who is a covenant keeper, like Mary. "Be it unto me according to thy word." As a covenant girl. Ah! Glory be to God. Am I helping anybody here?
That's how you keep the covenant. You talk. You have to use the sword of the spirit to cut the flesh.
And it hurts.
And so guys don't want to, they don't want to cut that flesh. Don't cut that flesh, your covenant breaker. And there is a limit to the blessings of the covenant you can enjoy. Because of God's mercy and grace, you go to heaven. But there's just some things you can never walk in. It's only for covenant keepers. Am I talking to anybody here? Good.
Jump to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Jesus help me.
You know, Deuteronomy is chock full of revelation. That's why God made it the last book of the Torah. Everything that God was going to do, even thousands of years later, he put inside Deuteronomy. Any Old Testament person who took time to study Deuteronomy and apply it would automatically fulfill. That's why you have people like Joshua, Caleb. They were fulfilling the covenant. They understood. They understood the vital importance of the, right? It's not the physical circumcision that makes them special. That is a spiritual one. So they took it, you know, and they put, he said, this book of the law will not depart out of thy mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written there. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good. And that's exactly what Joshua and Caleb had. And they, watch this. He said they had a different spirit because they were dealing with the spiritual circumcision. The other guys were only dealing with the physical circumcision. So the foreskin of their hearts, the other 12, the other 10 spies had not been dealt with. So they could only see the giants. And they could not see the God who is bigger than the giants. Am I talking to anybody? Woo! Glory to God. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Woo! Glory to God. And look at verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy city. He was talking prophetically about, you know, after they repent and they've gone through all the bondages and you know, Satan has put their, like the prodigal son, they've ate with the pigs and they come to themselves. This is still futuristic and it's already happening to some degree. He will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God. See it again. This is the covenant, folks. With all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all of thy, and that thou mayest live. You see, this is it. This is the covenant. This is the covenant. It's a circumcision of the heart through the spiritual operation of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Incidentally, you can't do it any other way. There are no shortcuts. There's only one way to keep the covenant. Take the word, put it in your mouth, and circumcise. The sin nature that is in your soul is like the foreskin. Your spirit is your main something. Is like, you know, the male organ is the main something. Then you have this extra growth. So this soul is an extra growth of the spirit, so to speak. So when you circumcise it, you deal with the sin nature in it and the one in the flesh, then you are a covenant man. You can't say amen. Thank God for one amen there. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 14, 30, 14. Say, you know, he's telling the same thing. It's just a repetition in different words. But the word, he said, he's explaining to them how to keep the covenant. He says, it's not beyond the sea and all of that. He said, but the word is very nigh unto thee. I didn't hear you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In thy, where? Everybody scream it. Scream it again. Why mouth? The sword of the Spirit. That thou, and then in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have said before this day, life and death. You do it, you keep the covenant. You don't do it, you default on the covenant. The answer is death. The other day I was teaching us here, you know, it says, if we would judge ourselves, then we would not be judged. Remember, when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned. See, God doesn't want his children to go to hell. So when he sees that this one is not keeping covenant, and I've been trying to get there, he's not just listening, he's doing his own thing, like Saul, you know, he's gone back from following me, you know, he's not doing it, you know, God will first of all bring weakness, then sickness, and in all, at least let him come to heaven. Now, the will of God, but that is the penalty for breaking covenant. You need to understand it. And you know, this same truth, I preached this recently, subsists in marriage. Marriage is a blood covenant. You don't know what you are saying when you are taking those vows. You enter, you and your wife, they call it partner these days. I don't know where they got that from. God forbid partner. You know, you and your wife, you know, I use the partner because it's just before they get married. You know, you and the, you know, whoever. You now exchange vows. What are you doing? With my body, I thee worship. With all my worldly goods, I thee bestow. It's covenant! You've just laid down your life. You've laid down your car. You've laid down your bank account. You've laid down your houses, everything. And so on the other side too. And then both of you say, till death do us part. Bing! Ça suffit. It's over. It's finished. Now you wake up one morning because you didn't like it. He didn't watch the film you wanted him to watch. Or he didn't buy one bag for you when he wanted to go to Dubai. Or he was not able to say, I'm leaving. I'm not doing it again. It is not like that at all. You're just walking to death. When you say, I do forever. I do until Jesus comes. Amen. So what if they're not doing something? Keep the covenant. You keep the covenant, God will work on the other partner. Don't let me go there. Thank you. Okay. So, why does God want us to keep the covenant? Well, he wants us to enjoy the blessings of the covenant. And they are great blessings. They are great, superior to anything you can even begin to imagine or think. Look at what he did for Abraham. Look at what God did for Abraham. Because Abraham obeyed him. It's not an easy thing for a 100-year-old man now to go and circumcise himself. You know, today we have medical science and all of that. All our medical people will tell you, they wouldn't have the technology that we have today. You know, a million and one things could have gone wrong. Correct? Infection, all kinds of terrible things. But God kept him. God kept him. And not only did he circumcise himself, he circumcised Isaac. And Isaac had not been born. You know, he circumcised all the slaves in his house and everything. Then he healed. And then, you know, he went into his wife. And Sarah now conceived. It is very interesting, honey. She could not conceive until Abraham was circumcised. So the first king was disturbing the sperm. The promised seed could not come forth so long as there was a disturbance of the foreskin of the flesh. So it is spiritually. On Wednesday, I was teaching that let thy light so shine, so that thy light that is in thee be not darkness. It's the same thing. The light is in your spirit. But if the foreskin of your soul has not been circumcised, it blocks whatever is coming from the spirit, and it will not come. It will never produce the Isaac, which is the manifestation of the Son of God. It's amazing, the parallels. And they're exact. If Abraham did not circumcise, he would never have had Isaac. If you don't circumcise the foreskin of your flesh, you will never become a son of God. You will die a child of God. No, child of God and son of God are not the same thing. If you still like me, give me a wave.
Don't worry, I'm going to close soon. So you can go and eat eba. When I'm talking. Tia ni pastor lubin son, eh? Tia lun son. Amen. Thank you, honey. Thank you. At least I have my wife, Pastor Boyega, and Pastor Wale. At least those three. I don't know about the others. Okay, I can see some other. Okay. I can see some other who are still on my side. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, man, this stuff is so good. Okay. Now, God, He wants us to keep the covenant so we can enjoy the blessings of His covenant. And God can show us mercy. It is mercy that will help you to keep the covenant. But what God requires from you is the willingness and the practice of the obedience. Once that kicks into motion, mercy is right behind you. 1 Kings chapter 8. And this is the failure of Solomon. We're going to get to Solomon, Absalom, and Adonijah next week by the grace of God. But that's why this is like a prerequisite. You see, when you understand this, you now understand why all those three boys failed. Do you know that all David's sons failed? All of them. The best was Solomon, and he failed. Ultimately, he did some good things, but the end, may your end be better than your beginning. Solomon's end was terrible. And the reason is very simple. He did not keep covenant. He didn't keep the covenant. 1 Kings chapter 8. You know, when you begin to read this Bible, it gets deeper, Pastor G, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Honey, you watch this. 1 Kings chapter 8. And I'm going to look at verses chapter 8. There we go. Verses 23, 24, and 25. I could read a lot of other things, but because of time, we just want to zero in on what we want to zero in on. He says, and the Lord God of Israel, this is Solomon praying at the dedication of the temple. You know, honey, the things God did for Solomon, God didn't do it for most human beings. Solomon had no excuse on this earth to mess up the way he did. God appeared to him twice. And then, what do you want? He said, give me wisdom. He said, the thing pleased the Lord. And God said, you didn't ask for the life of your enemies. You didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for blessing. I'm going to give you wisdom that nobody in your generation will have. He said, and wealth that you didn't ask for, I've given you. And you know, watch this, darling. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. That's on one something. Then, you know, the promises of God, they are yea and amen. And the gifts are without repentance. God could not take it back when he began to misbehave. And it was the gifts that he used to misbehave. But watch his prayer. Watch what you pray. And make sure that you, when you pray, you mean what you are saying and that you will do it. Don't just say it to impress God or impress the congregation so that they'll say, your man pray, go. You pray and then you contradict your own prayer. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above nor on the earth beneath. Who, everybody scream it, who keepest what? And mercy with his servants that walk before thee with some of their heart. Solomon had the answer right there. Wait, come next week. Don't your neighbor say, don't miss next week. Next verse. Who has kept with thy servant David my father? That thou promised him. Isn't God good? You know,
God watched over that word. And he, in spite of David's failures, God made sure that what he promised David came to pass. David couldn't build the temple. Nathan told him so. But God said, don't worry, your son will build it. In a time of peace. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And thou speakest also with thy mouth, and thou hast fulfilled it with thine hand. Watch this. As it is this day. Everybody give the Lord another super clap offering. When you sing this song now, you will sing it with understanding and meaning. Covenant keeping God. Covenant keeping God. God kept his part. Said, don't worry, your son will build it. And not only did he provide the money, you know, the resources, David, you know, gave David the plan by the spirit of the temple, how they were going to build it, the architectural plans and everything, gave it to Solomon. Then he put a lot of money aside. Then Solomon too, because he was a man of industry, he was able to get some more money. Some of the princes, they came. There was more than enough money. They built, they said it was exceedingly magnificent. Then we read the sad part. Verse 25. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed. Scream it, somebody. To their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. I don't know what else Solomon wanted. I'm not going to go there because I've gone there many times during this series. I'm just going to mention it. You can put it on the screen. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 17. God gives the future kings. They hadn't made kings yet. Because God originally, he was going to have a spiritual dynasty. He knew natural dynasty would never work. That's why he didn't want them to have a king. But when they insisted, fine. He said, now, when the king comes, let him do this. Let him take a copy of the book of this law. And he will, thank you. You shall, you know, next verse, verse 16. Look at. You know, he will keep a copy of this law. He will, so that his heart will not be lifted up. But he will not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. To the intent that you should multiply. Go to the next verse. Where it shall not. This was not written after Solomon. It was written before Solomon was born. This is Deuteronomy chapter 17. Solomon had a copy of this. And he blatantly disobeyed it. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply, everybody scream to himself. You see, turn to your neighbor, say, your gold will multiply, and your silver will multiply if you keep the covenant, but never keep it to yourself. The problem was not the multiplication of the gold and the silver. The problem was sitting on it. Ojokole. He sat on it and was misbehaving all over the whole place. The abomination of the Zidonians, the princess of Egypt, stupid girls, brought them. Solomon, brought them to Jerusalem. Then he raised idols for them inside the court of the Lord's house. Solomon, you. Before you start shouting, Solomon, put your name there in the placeholder. If you don't keep covenant, what happened to Solomon? What happened to you? Thank you. That's the next thing we're going to talk about. Mercy and our clothes. Oh, I'm Solomon. Solomon knew. Who would have thought? God appeared to him twice. Watch this. Before and after that time, up till now, we have not heard it happen that a king will pray and fire will come from heaven. Elisha, yeah, you know, because it was with the prophets of Baal. Only Solomon. Solomon prayed this prayer of dedication. The Bible says fire came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. They said all Israel bowed. God was so happy that he had fulfilled his word to David, and his son Solomon was obeying him. And he said, I'm sure if I do this, Solomon will never go back. I know, and I'm going to give the answer and close. No matter how much you know the Word of God, no matter how much scripture you have in your heart, no matter how many weekly remas you have written, speaking to Olubi Johnson, I'm speaking to myself. No matter how much revelation you have preached, like Proverbs and all of that, Solomon was not a, he was a, He was revelation knowledge. The son of David. The preacher in Jerusalem. The day you stop keeping covenant, you're going down. Residual knowledge of God's word will not see you through. It has to be a fresh word each day. You've got to keep it in your mouth because it's a dynamic system. You're dealing with spiritual forces in the air that are constantly coming against the mind, the will, the emotions, and the body. If you do not continually keep that word in your mouth and releasing the spiritual forces of God, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all these fruit of the Spirit, to counteract those things, no matter how much you have prophesied, no matter how much you have written, Solomon wrote Proverbs. He wrote Ecclesiastes. He was part of the canon of scripture. But that did not save him when he stopped keeping covenant. Someone said, did Solomon go to heaven? I believe he did. If for nobody else because of David. I believe Solomon went to heaven. He died in almost a backslidden state. I'm sure God just killed him one day and just took him out before he could go to hell. You know who we're talking about? Solomon. Thank you, Jay. Jesus, I shall know me. He spake 3,000 proverbs. His songs were 1,005. It didn't save him. Do not forgetting the things which are behind, including the successes. Oh, I've done this, I've preached this, I've done that, I've done this, I've done that, and all that. I don't care what you've done. I want to know what you are doing. Are you still keeping the word in your mouth? Are you still praying in the spirit? It's like for me to say, nah, what are you talking about? You this Sarah, you are a small girl. You know, I've been praying in tongues even before I met you. For 5 years, I've already been praying 1 hour, 2 hours in the spirit and all of that. You know, before all of you be born again, do you know how much I've been praying? Praise God. You know, I read my Bible so many times. I know all of these things. That what are you going to tell me that I don't know? All that will not save me if I stop keeping the covenant. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Past glory. You must be presently keeping the covenant. And I got news for you, baby. And you keep covenant until Jesus comes. Covenant is a daily thing. New Testament, I go, give me one scripture and I'm done. Because I know We're tired, but you know, this. Am I helping anybody here? Now. Quickly run to the New Testament, then we'll run back to the Old Testament and close. Run to Hebrews chapter 8. It's amazing. God does not hide anything from us. Look at verse 10. Verse 10. For this is the covenant. Turn to your neighbor and say, what is the covenant? Say, this is the covenant. What we're about to read. This is the covenant. I will make with the house of Israel, this is us, the church. After those days, I will, look, watch it. What's the covenant? I will put my law into their mind, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a, and they shall be to me a people. It has not changed. Covenant is not something you just do once. You know, you do it daily. You take that sword and you cut that foreskin of the flesh. When any sin nature comes from the outside, you cut it off. And anything comes from the blood, the word, and the spirit, you cut it off. You cut it off. You cut it off. You keep doing. So long as you are on this planet and you are subject to these negative spiritual forces, and all of us are, including the Lord Jesus Christ, who was tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin, who in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayer, and so he kept covenant. Now let's get back to 1 Kings chapter 8 and I close. Now I'm allowed three closings. So this is the first one. Ho, ho, ho. Don't worry. I'm about done. I'm about done. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now let's go back to chapter 8. And we're in verse 23. And there's a word there. I'm going to highlight that now and emphasize it. Yes, verse 23. Thou keepest, everybody say covenant and mercy. Say it. Say covenant and mercy. Everybody say covenant and mercy. Everybody say covenant and mercy. Once you start keeping covenant and you maintain it, God will show you mercy. Because God does not want you to fail. Mercy does four things. One, it will cause you not to be destroyed. By the mercies of God, we are not consumed. Two, mercy will cause you not to faint. How many people have been discouraged? Mercy, when mercy is there, you find that even when your heart goes, that thing will just come and strengthen you. It says, we faint not because we have received mercy. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Quickly go there. People are not familiar with that scripture. Everybody knows Lamentations 3:22. But seeing we have received this mercy ministry, we have received mercy, we what? Faint. Mercy will cause you not to faint, not to be discouraged. Number three, mercy will cause you to be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25. Number four, mercy will cause you to triumph. It is not of him that runneth, of him that willeth. Mercy is finishing grace. Because of mercy, you will finish well. But mercy is dependent on covenant. Observe it. It's covenant and mercy. See, Once covenant kicks in and God sees that this person is up, you will find mercy will come. You won't faint. Stand to your feet. You will not faint. I said you will not faint. I said you will not faint. You will not be destroyed. You will not be overcome. And you will triumph over judgment. That's what mercy does. That's why God packaged the thing. It was a package from God Almighty. Knowing our fleshly infirmities and weaknesses, he not only put in covenant, he added mercy to it. So covenant is the contract. Circumcision is the execution. In the Old Testament, it was cutting with a knife. In the New Testament, it's cutting with the Word of God. And you do it daily. Even you do it every 6 hours. That's why I said it will not depart. You will talk of them. When you sit down, when you grow up, you know, that you pray a lot in the Spirit. All is all covenant. You're giving God that avenue because He's the second covenant partner. You know, He wants to use your voice. He wants to use your mouth and your physical body as a vessel through which to release into the earth power that men have never seen before, exceedingly abundantly above what any man can ask or think. Don't break it. Once those things are in place, then His mercy will follow you. You will not faint. You will not be destroyed. You will be faithful and you will finish well. Let's talk to God. That's it. Everybody say covenant, circumcision, and mercy. Oh, glory to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I love this song, and I want us to sing it today because it really applies to this message that I've just preached. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Put the lyrics because it's a covenant song.
Who am I to be part of your people, the ones that are called by your name? Could I be chosen as one of your own? Could it be that our blood is the same?
How can a stranger,
a remnant of nations, belong to your royal line? You showed your grace when the branches were broken, and I wept into the vine. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Baruch Hashem Adonai.
The next verse.
How could you show me such bountiful mercy by taking the life of the lamb? Your love is greater than I can imagine. I bless you with all that I am. Praise to you, Jesus. The veil has been parted. And what once was secret is known. Now I can cry to you, Abba, my Father, and praise you as one of your own. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem Adonai, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai.
your heart. I want you to enter into covenant with God afresh. I know already, we actually did it when we got born again, but people didn't understand it. I want you, with understanding now, enter into covenant with God. Say, God, I understand now. Every day I'm going to take that knife and I'm going to cut the foreskin of that flesh. Every day. The morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. And I'm going to pray in the spirit. I will lend you my voice. I will lend you my body, because I worship you with all that I am. That second verse, let's just sing it again. How could you? Keep your hand on your heart and the other hand, on the other hand in the sky. You're singing it not as a song, but as a covenant.
How could you show me such bountiful mercy by taking the life of a lamb?
Your love is greater.
Your love is greater than I can imagine. I bless you with all that I am. Praise to you, Jesus. The veil has been parted, and what was once secret is known. Now I can cry to you, Abba, my Father, and praise you as one of your own. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Pray this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for giving me a refresher on covenant. I first of all thank you for having mercy on me, preserving me till this moment. In spite of when I have broken covenant, you've kept me from death. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Father, I confess my sins where I have broken covenant, where I've been negligent, where I've not allowed you to use me, your covenant partner. I've not allowed you to use my mouth. I've not allowed you to use my body. I've not allowed you to use my strength because of my own selfish conveniences. Oh God! I repent. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I receive fresh life into my spirit in sufficient measure. Father, I now make afresh my covenant with you. Now I understand it. And daily I will use the sword of the Spirit to cut the foreskin of my flesh, to keep covenant. And I trust you for mercy to back me so that I will not be consumed. I will not faint. I will be faithful and I will constantly triumph over the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I will keep covenant and enjoy the fullness of all the blessings of the covenant that is in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Neka shakato frenenga. Open that mouth. It's God's mouth. He gave it to you, but it's his mouth. He has a right to that mouth. He's a covenant partner. He has a right to that body. Neka shala prikito frenela. It's not your own. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Nika shele prikito fredea. Father, la prekatolo moshelo fredes. Lord Jesus, la prekatolo motolo fredes. Lord Holy Spirit, ningedolos. Thank you for your blood. Lambrakasha, your life, Shekardofre, your power, Neka Ratushke Fre, Lambrigatolo Mahaya Yaya Hai, Yekikiki, Rakasha, La Prikitofrede, Lambrakatolo Mustofrekak, Nera Katufrede, Lambres, Lopredelas, Dolomatufres, Dolomatufrish, Langagamaturo, Shikitofrene, in Jesus' name. One of the reasons why your covenant partner heals your body. It's because he needs it. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are not your own. And he will not tolerate sickness in his body. So that he can do the work he wants to do through that body. So if you need healing now, just stretch forth your hands. If you are whole, just stretch forth your hands. Your covenant partner, he says, I am the Lord thy God. You keep my covenant, he says, and I will not allow any of the diseases of the Egyptians or of this world to come upon you. Be thou made whole in Jesus' name. I release healing power. I release soundness of mind. I release joy and peace for your mind in Jesus' name. It's all about covenant. Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch,
Baruch, Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Baruch Hashem Adonai. One more time.
Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Baruch Hashem Adonai.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. Amen. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointing of Enoch, Amen. Of Abraham, Amen. Joseph, Amen. Moses, Amen. Joshua, Amen. Ruth, Amen. David, Amen. Elisha, Amen. Daniel, Amen. Esther, Amen. Paul, Amen. And John. Amen. In Jesus' name, Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide in us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to him and say, you keep covenant and receive mercy so you have no bones broken. In Jesus' name.